you guys. Welcome back to my Flickers of Fear movie review show. The movie I'm talking about today is one that I've been wanting to do for a really long time. Now, interestingly, I had actually never seen this one. I just knew it by reputation. Like, I knew what happened in it because it comes up on a lot of most disturbing movies or movies you never want to watch twice, like things like that. And so I feel like I was kind of like, well, you know, eventually I have to see this, you know, not only because it was really disturbing and I kind of like to see those, but also because it was written and directed by Gaspar Noé. And I've only actually seen a couple of his other films. I think we reviewed Climax not too long ago, which I guess was one of the things that spurred me to want to go back and watch this one from, you know, one of his earlier films. And one that is, I mean, still probably, I kind of feel like this one is maybe the most notorious. I could be wrong about that, but this is definitely one that was very divisive when it came out, and as far as I can tell is still very divisive. There are some people that are just kind of like, why would I want to watch that? You know what I mean? Because it's really not a super pleasant movie to sit through, I will say that. But honestly, I kind of found a lot of artistic merit in it. Even though it is a deeply unpleasant watch, I found it a very, very tragic film. I don't think I found it as difficult to watch, maybe because I kind of knew what to expect. It is disturbing and it is difficult to watch. I'm not saying I just breezed through the shit, but I guess because I knew, because the reputation of it's been around so long. I mean, it came out back in 2002 and, you know, people have been talking about it since then. So I kind of knew what to expect. So I was sort of braced for it, I guess. So maybe it didn't bother me as much as, you know, if I had just gone into it completely blind. Interestingly, one thing that I feel like I knew this fact about this movie at some point, like back in the old day, but I had forgotten about it. So when I started watching it again, it's actually free on Tubi if you'd like to watch it, at least as of this recording. I had actually forgotten that this was, the scenes were in reverse chronological order, just like Memento. Now, you know, Gaspar Noé said that that was kind of one of the ways that he got the funding for this movie was by pitching it as, hey, I'm going to do backward scenes like in Memento, because that was such a big success, you know, the Christopher Nolan movie from 2000. And some people could argue, I mean, Memento wasn't the first one to do it either. I'm not sure how many there were before that, but I know that there was one. Shit, man, I can't remember what year it came out, but it was called The Betrayal, and that was kind of the same thing where they had the scenes in reverse chronological order. So like I said, it's not so much, I don't know, it's not like so much a ripoff, but I kind of feel like Gaspar Noé said that, you know, that's how he got the funding because Memento was such a big success. So it almost kind of seems like, oh, it was just like a stunt. But I would argue that I think that putting the scenes in reverse order does actually really bring something, maybe not profound, but it does bring something to what, if you played this movie in the correct order, you know what I mean, like the chronological order, would just be kind of like a rape revenge story, which, and it would still be good that way, but I think that showing it from, you know, the aftermath to prior to the crime happening, I think it really gives it something that is kind of like hard to put your finger on. I was like reading, I guess Roger Ebert reviewed it, and he was kind of mixed on it, like a lot of, you know, critics were. Now, he said that most people will find this unwatchable. Probably they will. You know, but he also said that putting it in reverse order makes the movie, like, inherently moral because you are seeing the aftermath and the vengeance first, and then you're kind of going back and seeing, like, what led up to it. And it does, it really does give the movie like some kind of profundity, and it's also like really tragic because one of the themes of it, I guess, is kind of like, and I think one of the reasons that it's so disturbing to watch too is that because you know what's going to happen, And as the scenes go backward, you know, to prior to this horrible crime happening, you know what's going to happen to this character. And so it's doubly tragic because it's almost kind of like you want to intervene and, you know, tell her like what the future is going to be because you've already seen it, but you can't do that. So I think it's kind of like it really brings a more of like an emotional resonance to it, I guess, when you see the aftermath first. So, but it's really weird because when I first started watching it, and it just pretty much throws you in at the deep end with this nauseating, you know, Gaspar Noé, he loves his spinning cameras and his kind of psychedelic, weird red, you know, imagery and everything. And that is definitely here. So it just kind of throws you in with this spinning camera and all these red lights and this really chaotic sort of thing and like all this like really unsettling music and noise. And I think he did actually utilize like kind of subaudible type of sounds for this, like to make people feel queasy or anxious or whatever. And it definitely does, like in the first part of it. But it just kind of throws you in at the deep end. And when I was watching it, I thought to myself, I was like, oh yeah, that's right. This is backwards. Like it's filmed backwards. So after that, I was a lot more engaged because at first I was just kind of like, wait, what's going on? And then I was like, oh yeah, that's right. This is actually the last scene. And then we're going to like, you know, show what happened prior to that. Now, interestingly, there is one scene at the beginning that's almost kind of like a little bit of a prologue. And it just has like this skeezy old dude and another skeezy dude. And they're sitting on this bed in this like gross little apartment, and the older guy is telling the other guy that he got arrested for sleeping with his daughter. And then there's this whole thing. I mean, as I said, one kind of recurring theme in this movie is quote unquote, time destroys everything. So the old guy does actually say that. Now, this guy is actually, even though he doesn't really have anything to do with the main narrative of Irreversible, he was actually a character in, I believe, Gaspar Noé's prior movie to this, which I think is called I Stand Alone. I think he was called The Butcher. And so he's kind of like tying it in. It's almost like a fucked up cinematic universe, I guess. But he's kind of like tying it in. It does kind of tie in because at the very beginning, you know, he says he's talking about the nightclub where the shit was happening. And I guess he lives above it or something like that. So he is in the story, but he doesn't really have anything to do with the narrative. But I kind of feel like some people that reviewed the movie were just kind of like, well, what were those two guys? What did they have to do with anything? That guy was in his prior movie. So he's kind of like making a nod to the prior movie. Because like I said, Gaspar Noé's films tend to be kind of thematically similar, I guess. So what we have, the first scene, after that little kind of prologue scene, you know, apparently these two guys live over this nightclub. It's like a gay fetish club called The Rectum, which is one of the best names for a gay fetish club of all time, I have to say. So they live above that. So then you're kind of like thrown into that, into this, you know, kind of throbbing, chaotic, like club scene. And there's these two guys, Marcus and Pierre, and they're obviously very, very distraught, particularly Marcus, who it's clear he's pretty, he's very, very like filled with rage, and he's also maybe drunk, maybe on something, whatever, but he's just like on a fucking rampage, and he's pretty much just going through this club, which almost, the way it's shot, and it's like very red, and there's just kind of like all these, you know, there's all this like stuff going on around the margins. And so it's almost kind of like a purgatorial type of thing. And like I said, this very queasy like camera work and this, you know, just constant noise that's kind of like, you know, just grinding at your stomach and all this other stuff. And it goes on for like quite a while. So what you're able to determine is that these two guys are looking for a dude named Latenia, I think is what his name is, which means the tapeworm, I'm led to assume. And he's like a pimp or something. Now, at first, like I said, if you don't know anything about this movie, then you don't know why they're looking for him. But they're just kind of like going through his club. Obviously, Marcus is, who's played by Vincent Cassel, actually. I've seen him in a fuck ton of stuff, and not just French movies either, because obviously, in case I didn't mention that, this is obviously a French movie. But he's been in some, you know, American or some other ones as well, because I think he was also in Black Swan, I want to say. Maybe that was something that I saw him in very recently. But yeah, so he's been in a shit ton of stuff, so you'll recognize him, no problem. He's obviously the way more motivated of the two. Like, his friend Pierre is kind of trying to talk him down, like, hey man, you know, calm down and quit smacking that dude around, and you know, why don't you just, you know, let's just go home, or let's just go see her or something like that. So he's kind of trying to, you know, pull him back from the brink, but you know, Marcus just is not having it, and he's just going through this club just fucking shaking everyone and punching people, and you know, where is he, and it's everyone's just kind of, you know, everyone's just kind of acting like it's kind of like an underground club, and they're just kind of just either making fun of him, or they're just kind of like, oh, we don't know where he's at, blah blah blah. So there's this whole kind of thing. And then very very soon, so I said, this goes on for a really long time, and then there's one of the two most notorious and horrific scenes in the movie happens very very soon in the movie. In the sense that Marcus finds who he thinks is the dude that he's looking for, and they start to have this big fucking fight, and the guy gets the better of him and, you know, breaks his arm, and he just lays on it and pulls it. It's just it's awful. And so then he's gonna rape him, actually, and then his friend comes up with a fire extinguisher and just beats the bejesus out of this dude's head. It is horrifying. I mean, nowadays, this movie came out in 2002, and apparently they did use some practical effects for it, but they had to kind of augment it with CGI. Now, the CGI in 2002 obviously is not as good as it is nowadays, so you can still kind of tell that it's CGI, but it still looks really nasty. I mean, you know what I mean? He is just beating the ever-loving fuck out of this dude's face with a big fucking... I mean, he's just smashing and shit like that. So Pierre does that, defending his friend Marcus. So that's kind of the opening scene. And like I said, it's a doozy. It's a lot. So then as the story goes on and you go backwards in time, I mean, the way this is shot is really interesting because... He almost shoots it even though it's not, but he shoots it in a way that makes it look like it's just continuous shots, that there aren't any cuts, because he's very good at hiding where the edits are. What he'll do is one scene, you know, this scene in the rectum takes place, and then the camera will swirl up toward a light source, which usually means we're going backward in time and we're going to the scene that happened prior to this. And so he uses that as a way to kind of hide the edit, so it seems one big continuous shot, which I think when we talked about his more recent film Climax, which I think came out in 2018 or whatever, same kind of thing. He does these really really long shots, or at least they appear to be really long shots, unbroken takes, and that's what he does in this one as well. So after that scene, it starts going back to, you know, prior to this, where Marcus and Pierre are kind of running through the streets of Paris trying to locate where this dude is, because they're looking for this dude. So for the next few scenes are them running around threatening various other people, a transgender prostitute and various other gangsters and stuff like that, trying to find out where this dude is. And then as it goes farther and farther back, we get to the source of their ire, I guess. Which is, you know, if you know anything about this movie, is the horrible rape and beating of Marcus's girlfriend, Alex. Now, Alex, who's played by Monica Bellucci, and I believe, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Monica Bellucci and Vincent Cassel were married in real life at the time that this movie was made. And you can really tell, because they have a real ease with one another. I mean, the acting in this is phenomenal. And it just seems very, very naturalistic, very realistic. It doesn't even seem like acting at all. The dynamic between the three of these people, because what has ended up happening is that apparently at some point in the past, Alex dated Pierre, but then they broke up and they're still friends. But now she's dating Marcus. You know, so Marcus and Pierre, I guess Marcus and Pierre, I don't know if they were friends prior to that or if they just became friends after, because there's some implication. They're not resentful of one another, the two guys, but there is a lot of kind of back and forth, you know, before they get to the party, you know, after she leaves the party, that's when it happens. But before they get to the party, there's a lot of kind of funny back and forth where he's, you know, Pierre's almost kind of insinuating that, you know, that Marcus stole her from him because he was more like animalistic, and he and Pierre was too cerebral and didn't know how to get her off and all these other kind of things. It's a very, very sexual movie. Like, a lot of the discussions are very frankly sexual. You know, it's a French movie. What are you going to do? You know, that's kind of their thing. So it's almost kind of like these two guys. It's interesting. I really like the way that they played that dynamic, because it would have been easy, I guess, to have played up the conflict. I mean, there is conflict, but it's very subtle. They're still friends. There doesn't seem to be any resentment between any of the three of them or anything like that. But it's pretty clear that Pierre, the ex, is still in love with Alex, obviously, but he doesn't really, I mean, he does, like I said, he makes little jabs at Marcus being like an animal or being out of control, or, you know, you don't appreciate her because look what you're doing. Because when he gets to the party, he drinks a lot and like fucking, you know, takes all the cocaine pretty much. And he's just like dancing and acting like a spaz, and he's like making out with all these other chicks and all this other kind of stuff. And, you know, and Pierre's just kind of like, well, you know, why did you even bring Alex if you're gonna like act this way? You're acting like an ape and all this other kind of shit. So he's just trying to like keep him from making an ass of himself, I guess. But it's just kind of like this interesting thing. So because when they're at the party, like, because Marcus is acting like an ass, Alex is kind of like, yeah, I don't really want to be at this party anymore. You know, it's kind of lame. I'm going to go home. And Pierre's like, you know, well, I'll go with you. Usually you shouldn't go by yourself. It's very dangerous. And she's like, no, just like, don't worry about it. You guys have fun. I'm just like going home, and I'm kind of like sick. I'm over the scene or whatever. I mean, she was having a good time prior to that, but you know, Marcus was kind of like acting like a douche. So she starts walking home, or walking back to the train station rather. And she's in this tunnel, like this big, long red tunnel. And there you see the pimp, Latenia. And at this point, when you see the guy that rapes her, then it's doubly bad, because one, you know what's going to happen. And two, you realize that from the beginning of the movie, which is actually the end, the dude that Pierre killed with the fire extinguisher was not the right guy. It was just some random, I mean, you know, it was just some random guy that was standing next to that guy. They just assumed, because they said, hey, are you Lieutenant? And he wouldn't answer. So then they just started beating the crap out of him, and they couldn't get any information out of him. So, I mean, Pierre ended up just killing that guy. And you find out later, when you see the actual rape happen, that they got the wrong dude, that like the dude that actually did it, he didn't even, like, you know, he was just standing there going, huh, holy shit, I just, you know what I mean? So, again, this is like a doubly, like, impactful scene, because you realize that's, like, that's not even the same guy. So, yeah, so Latenia's in there, and he's beating the crap out of the transgender prostitute you've seen earlier, which was actually later, whose name is Concha. And he's beating the shit out of her, and then, you know, Alex is walking along, like I said, just trying to get to the train. But, of course, Latenia is just kind of like, oh, no, I'm going to get in on this. And then what ensues is probably, I don't even want to say probably, it's definitely up there, I'm going to say, is one of the most harrowing, excruciating scenes in the history of cinema. And I can watch a lot. I do have a hard time watching rape scenes, but I would argue, I mean, this one, it's long. It's 9 minutes. That doesn't sound like a long time, but when you're watching a woman get horribly raped in an alley for 9 solid minutes and the camera is not moving, and it's like real time, it seems endless. Now, this scene, very, very difficult to watch. I mean, it's just, But I kind of feel like some critics were kind of like, why would you put that in? Why did it have to be so long? Like, it was excessive. I don't really think anybody argued that he was trying to make it titillating, because it absolutely is not. It's disgusting, and that's what it's supposed to make you feel. It's supposed to make you feel revulsion, and I think he did a really good job of that. But I don't know. I would defend it, because much like, and I've talked about this with other kind of like rape revenge movies, even kind of like, you know, your schlocky like exploitation ones like I Spit on Your Grave from the 1970s, which also has a very, very long rape scene in it, which is also very difficult to watch because it's very, very unglamorous and very, you know, just, it's just very matter of fact. And honestly, I would defend filming it like that more than kind of sugarcoating it or even glamorizing it or trying to like soft pedal it, because honestly, I think it's better and more impactful. So I don't know if better is the word I want to use, but I think it's better and more impactful to show it the way it really is in real life, show it like this horrible, degrading, act. And I think it was kind of necessary to show it because, that's how long it took. And then it was kind of like that was sort of like the catalyst which led to all of this stuff happening later in the timeline, although earlier in the movie. So you see, why? Because not only does he rape her like for 9 solid minutes, but then he, and it's anal too, like he anally rapes her and it's horrible. And then he just beats the fucking shit out of her and beats her into a coma, essentially. Like her face is just all fucked up. And it's just a horrible, horrible scene to watch. As I said, it had to be horrific because, it could make the argument. It's like, well, that happened to her, and that almost kind of, I don't want to say it's like justifies, but you can understand like why her boyfriend Marcus was so filled with rage and why he just spent the rest of the night. I mean, yes, he was coked up and yes, he was drunk and stuff like that. But, why he went so far and why Pierre ended up going so far, because ironically, it didn't end up being Marcus that killed the guy who ended up not even being the rapist. It was Pierre, who was the one who was trying to stop Marcus from like acting like a fool or getting his ass kicked. But once Marcus got his arm broken, and once somebody was gonna rape Marcus as well, Pierre came in and like killed that guy, like I said, who didn't even turn out to be the rapist to start with. So it was almost kind of like, it was kind of showing how just useless it all was in the end, because honestly, they never say, and like I said, this is spoilers, but this movie came out like 20 years ago, so, get with the program. But, and it doesn't really matter anyway, because like I said, the end happens at the beginning, so it's not structured like a normal movie. The sad thing about it is that had they, they never tell you whether whether Alex survived or not, because basically the last time you see her, or the first time you see her rather, she's being taken away on a stretcher and her face is all fucked up and bloody, and they say she's in a coma, but they never say if she like lives or dies or anything like that. So, and it's sad that Marcus didn't just go to the hospital to be with her, because he might never see her again, she might not survive, but he just kind of went off on this I guess because of his ego or whatever, and he just went off on this fucking rampage looking for the guy that did it to her, which is understandable, but it ended up being pointless in the end. I mean, he not only did that guy, I mean, I'm not saying the guy that got killed was a great dude, but he wasn't the actual rapist. He wasn't the guy that he was going after. But in the course of looking for that guy, Marcus also like beat the shit out of a taxi driver, stole a taxi cab, beat the shit out of a prostitute, so he did like a bunch of other fucked up shit too, like in this quest for vengeance, which ended up being ultimately pointless. And it's, so it's really sad, like, had he not been that way, obviously he could have maybe, gone to the hospital to be with her, which probably she would have appreciated more than having him running through the streets of Paris being a fucking terror and just compounding the violence. But, that's kind of what the point of the movie is. The interesting thing, too, is that by putting the movie in reverse order, so obviously the horrific shit happens, like, very, very soon in the movie, and then you get these scenes of them getting ready to go to the party, Marcus and Alex, and they're, like, being playful and having sex, and maybe she's pregnant, she's, like, really excited about it, and he's, like, excited about the possibility, and they're just kind of, like, they're just being in love, and it's just kind of, like, this cool thing, and it's, like, the more the movie goes on and, the more before the rape, scenes that you see, like the sadder and sadder it gets, because it's almost kind of like this woman's fate is sealed. You've already seen it. And there's nothing that she can do to, alleviate it, to get away from it. I mean, she's doomed. And that makes it like a really, really, I found it like a really emotionally wrenching like thing to watch, because it's just like, as it goes on, it just gets sadder and sadder. And it's kind of creepy too, because you know, as the earlier scenes come forth, like toward the end of the movie, there's all of this like foreshadowing, and it's not even foreshadowing because we already know what happened, but the characters don't. So she's, you know, for example, she's telling Marcus, she's like, I had this really weird dream that I was in this red tunnel, which, you know, the red tunnel where she ended up getting raped. And she's like, and the, you know, in the tunnel, like, ended up splitting off into two. So I'm guessing that being some kind of, like, weird symbol for either her life before and after the rape, or it could be, like, the line between life and death, because maybe she didn't survive. So there's all this kind of stuff that is, you know, in a normal narrative would be foreshadowing, but it's made a lot more impactful because it's not foreshadowing. We already know what happens. They don't. So, you know, when she says something like that, you're just kind of like, it's heartbreaking because you already know that her fate is sealed and there's nothing that she can do about it. Interestingly, too, I kind of feel like a lot of the conversations that, you know, like when they're in the subway on the way to the party, for example, with Pierre, and they're having all these conversations and she's talking about, like, I guess her and Pierre are talking about how maybe their sex life didn't work out, and she's talking about, oh, well, you know, sex is better if you're just not worrying about, like, your partner, because if you worry about that, then you will kind of, like, lock up, you won't, you know, loosen up or whatever. So she's like, it's better to be selfish, which when she says something like that, and you have already seen the horrible fucking shit that happens to her, it's just kind of like this horrible thing, because it's almost like she's talking about her rapist. And there's, like, really kind of fucked up shit, too, like, later on, where, you know, her and Marcus, like, they've been taking a nap or whatever, and they're both, like, in bed naked, and they're just, like, kind of playing around, and they're like, oh, yeah, we have to get up and go to the party and stuff. And he, you know, says some stuff like, oh, he's gonna, you know, he wants to fuck her in the ass and all this other kind of stuff, which, like I said, ends up happening to her later on. So it's like, I don't know if Gaspar Noé, like, was maybe making some, I'm not really sure if he was making some kind of statement that, you know, like the stuff that Marcus was saying to her, the way he was treating her. I mean, obviously he loved her, but those things that he was saying were not really a difference of kind to what the rapist was saying, or the attitudes of the rapist, but just a difference of degree. I'm not really sure if that was his intention, but that's kind of like what I got from it, because he was saying, you know, Marcus was saying some kind of similar things to her that the rapist said later on, but just like in a different context, or like not as extreme or something like that. So I don't know. That's kind of what I got from it. Maybe I'm not really sure if I'm reading something into it that isn't there, or maybe that's just my own interpretation or whatever. But there definitely is a lot of very obvious, you know, things that happen in the conversations later on in the movie, meaning earlier in the timeline, that, you know, foreshadow, or that kind of like, you know, is kind of like a smaller version, I guess, of like the horrific shit that happens later on. So there's like a lot of that kind of stuff. So I don't even know if you can even call it foreshadowing. It's post-shadowing. I don't know. Is there a word for that? I'm sure there probably is. But yeah, so this movie, as I said, even nowadays, you know, and this came out 20 years ago, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure that this is still one of his most controversial movies. If you go around the internet and there's like all these kind of lists of, you know, oh, most disturbing movies, and this is usually on there, and for very good reason. As I said, this is one of those movies that I know that there are some people that just want to watch movies and just, you know, have it be fun or have it be entertaining or something like that. And it's like, why the fuck would I want to watch a 9-minute scene of like this woman getting horribly, brutally raped and her face beaten in? You know, and I get that. Like, I'm not judging, like, if you don't want to watch that. Because, like I said, this is not a movie for entertainment. This is a movie that's, you know, trying to be provocative. It's trying to say something. It's, you know, so I like both kinds of movies. And this is not a fun watch, but I'm actually glad I watched it, because there was a lot in it that really resonated with me, I guess, about fate, about, you know, revenge, about, I don't know, it's just, there was something about it that really, like, I don't know, it really, like, kind of got to me, I guess, and so I can see why a lot of people bring this one up when they're talking about, you know, really disturbing films, but ones that are totally worth watching, I think. But like I said, I would not blame you in the least if you didn't want to watch a movie with scenes like this in it. You know, I mean, other than those two scenes, like I said, the rape scene and the scene where the guy gets beaten to death with the fire extinguisher, that's pretty much, you know, the most disturbing scenes. The rest of it is not that graphic. There is a lot of violence in this, and there is a lot of just people being the worst. This movie has gotten a lot of accusations of homophobia because the rapist is actually gay, and a lot of the stuff, and so even like, so he rapes a woman, which, you know, so a lot of people were just kind of like, well, why would that happen? Why, you know, and the scene that happens in the rectum, the gay club, it's like, you could probably, yeah, I mean, you know, Gaspar Noé said, I'm not homophobic. He's like, I was in that scene, you know, so I don't like have anything against that, but it's, I don't know, it does really kind of, how you feel about that is, you know, and I can understand if you don't want to watch it for that too, because, I mean, honestly, there is a lot of kind of like slurs against gay people in this, like a lot, and there's a lot of that going on in here. But like I said, the people in it are not great people. It's not like it's the hero, like, you know what I mean? This really has no heroes in it other than, you know, other than Alex, who is just kind of like an innocent person who just has this horrible thing happen. But everybody else is kind of terrible. So these are kind of terrible people doing terrible things and like not solving any problems. So it's one of those kind of movies. So you really kind of have to be in the mood for it. This actually did win a bunch of awards, but as I said, critics were very, very divided. I think when it premiered at Cannes, it was nominated for the Palme d'Or. I don't think it won, but it was nominated. And they had about half walkouts. You know what I mean? Half the audience walked out pretty much every screening. I get it. If you go into it not knowing what to expect, as I said, it didn't bother me that much because I had heard so much about this movie over the years, and it's Gaspar Noé, and I'd seen some of his other stuff, so I kind of knew what to expect. So, yes, it's harrowing. Yes, it's excruciating to watch. Yes, it's very painful to watch. But, you know, I knew what was coming, so it didn't bother me as much as maybe it would bother somebody that was just at Cannes being like, oh, okay, let's go watch this French film. And then like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? But why do I want to kill myself now? Oh my God. This is like, so yeah, it's a bummer. So yeah. But yeah, so if you've seen it, I kind of feel like a lot of people have seen this. I can't believe it took me this long to get around to it. I think that I was putting it off because I knew that it had like a really horrible rape scene in it. And I have, like I said, that's one of the only things I have a hard time watching. I can watch them, but they bother me. You know, rape, cruelty to animals, and anything having to do with poop or eating vomit. I'm not into that. So those are the hard things. I can watch pretty much anything else, but those things kind of bother me. But yeah, so I think that's why I was kind of putting it off for so long, because I'm like, man, I'm really going to have to be like in the mood to watch that. But I'm glad I finally did watch it, because it actually is, I'm not going to say it's uplifting, because it's not. Although I guess there's like a reading of it that sort of maybe could be uplifting if you looked at it in a weird way, but it's pretty soul crushing. I think I found it pretty soul crushing, but as I said, I'm glad I watched it. But yeah, so let me know what you think of Irreversible in the comments, or if you are a fan of Gaspar Noé or really, really, hate his movies, I'd be curious to know, what you think about it in the comments. Another thing too, I think this is the last, Flickers of Fear I'm going to do for January. And I decided that for some months of the year, just to make things easier for me, like for as far as picking movies and stuff, I decided some months I was going to do like a theme. At least on the movies. I'm not going to do like the book reviews because that'd be too hard. But so for February, I actually wanted to do folk horror February, because as I mentioned on a couple of my last videos, there's a really good documentary on Shudder called Woodlands Dark and Days Bewitched, and it's all about folk horror. And I kind of saw a lot of movies in there that I wanted to watch, that I wanted to add to my list. And there's a shit ton of them on Shudder and on Tubi and stuff. So I made like a list for February. So for February, I think it's 8 movies. I guess it's 8 movies. So I'm going to do like 8 folk horror movies for the month of February. But we'll see. I'm not entirely sure which ones I'm going to do yet. It's going to depend on, I got a list of ones I want to do, but it's going to depend on availability. So, but we'll see how it goes. Because that's a genre that I really felt like I needed to do more of. So hopefully you guys enjoy that. And that will do it for this Flickers of Fear. I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.